Romans 6. And so in Romans chapter 5, and also in Romans 4, Paul teaches what we call justification. Abraham was justified by faith. All he did was believe, and the Bible says it was accounted to him as righteousness. Just believing, that was all he did. God gave him a promise of land and descendants, and all he did to receive that promise was believe it. You know, he was in the natural, it was going to be impossible for him to have descendants. A 99-year-old man and an 89-year-old wife, that's a symbol of natural strength being dead. And the idea, the application is that a sinner cannot save himself. It's impossible for you to earn salvation. So in order to receive salvation, you can't work it out. You can't do anything except believe. You know, it's almost too easy for us to accept. So that's the principle of justification, just as if you've never sinned before. That's what he teaches. That's the foundation of Christianity. Jesus paid a price on the cross for our sins. We can't earn it. We just believe it. Now, that's the starting point. And so, well, you know, that begs the question, and that's just what these Roman believers would have been asking. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." And so, if sin abounds and grace abounds, then the question is, chapter 6 and verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Well, if Jesus paid the price for our sins, it's just as if we never sinned. So we just continue in sin so we can receive more grace and more grace and more grace? And Paul says in verse 2, "Certainly not." I think the King James Version says, "God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" And so here's the idea. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for our sins, and we have to appropriate. That's a fact, okay? It's not something we just believe. That happened. He died for us, and we have to appropriate that by faith. And so verse 3 says this, verse 2, "Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin?" Another way to say that is, as born-again believers, we have a new relationship with sin. Okay, and so the things that we used to do, I mean, and some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, you had a conscience. Sometimes you followed your conscience, sometimes you didn't, but there was many things in my life and your life that we did before we were, you know, believers. We didn't really think twice about it. I mean, I remember, you know, as a young man, I remember some of the things that you harden your conscience, you harden your heart towards it a little bit, and before long, you know, I mean, I prayed for things that were evil. Did anybody else? I would go to a bar and pray that I could hook up with a girl. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I would pray that. I'd be like, "God, please just help her come over here." I mean, what? I remember in high school, I would pray that they would move their paper so I could see the answers. I mean, what? "God, please help them to move their hand just a little bit. Thank you, Lord." I mean, God, you know? You pray that you don't get caught doing stuff. I mean, and so then when you're saved, you have a whole new relationship with sin. And so that's what he's saying. You've died. When Christ died, you died to sin. That's a fact. It's your relationship to sin has changed. And so it says, "Or do you not know?" And you could circle the word "know." that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Okay, this is the first thing, and he uses this word know in Romans 6. He uses it three times. And so the first part is it enters in, it has to do with your mind. You have to know that the old man, mind is dead. This is doctrine. You know that Christ went to the cross for our sins, and you know that he paid the price for your sins, and you're no longer, we're going to get to that, you're no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. And so you have to know it. You have to believe it. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death. Now Paul uses the analogy of water baptism. Okay, we're buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, it's a symbol of what's happened to us. We died to sin, and when the old man is dead, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I mean, we weren't really crucified, but Paul said, he said, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you're identified as with Christ on the cross, and then Jesus lives through you. That's the resurrection. And this is what I tell people. Once you understand the Christian life is impossible, you get a breakthrough. Because it's not behavior modification. It's not being a better person. It's not self-will. It's death to flesh. It's death to sin. And then Christ lives through you. If it's just your ability to try harder and be a better person and stop some outward habits, that'll just last a little while. But when it's death to flesh and sin no longer has dominion over you, and Christ starts to live a supernatural life through you, you're living the life of another. You're living an impossible life. It's a supernatural life. That's the Christian walk. It's death to flesh. It's death that I am crucified with Christ. The old person. That's what I love about Romans 6. He brings out this in verse 5. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. There's that word knowing. You have to know that that old man is dead. Knowing this, that our old man, I think the NIV says old self, the old self was crucified with him. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And so, before you're justified, that's what we've been studying, before you're justified, the Bible teaches us that we're slaves of sin. The Ephesians says you're children of wrath. You're slaves of sin. You don't even have the power to have victory over sin. All you can do is live a good life, the best you can. And we see people who live a moral life. But you're still, your heart is darkened, the Bible says. You haven't been translated from the kingdom of God into the kingdom, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of God. You're a slave. You're a slave to sin. And it says, but when this old man is crucified, you're no longer a slave of sin. And that's the message of Romans 6. You're no longer a slave of sin. You've been, verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin, not free to sin. And so that's the message. You know, we always kind of go to extremes. Is it legalism or is it license? So if grace is abounding, well, certainly I can do whatever I want. There's a license to sin, but it's not freedom to sin, it's freedom from sin. This is the principle. The power of sin was broken at the cross and the resurrection. He paid the penalty, but he also broke the power. That's the message. He paid the penalty of sin, But he also broke the power, the curse of sin in our life. He broke that power in his resurrection. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. That's the resurrection power walking in us. Verse 9, there's the word knowing again. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the lives that he lives to God. Now, the first step of victory over sin is knowing. He says three times, you've got to know that you were crucified with Christ. The second thing is to reckon. You've got to reckon. Knowing has to do with your mind. Reckoning has to do with your heart. Reckon. Now, if you're raised in the South, you heard that word a lot. It kind of means, I guess so, right? Are you going to the store? I reckon, I suppose. That's not what it means in the Bible, okay? It means to put in one's account. Okay, the best definition of reckon means to put in one's account. It means to impute. It means to take into account, to estimate, to calculate. And so here's the deal. It means to impute. And so he says this, likewise you also reckon yourself to be dead into sin. Let it move from your head to your heart. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It means a matter of faith that issues in action. Let it move from your head into your heart. Your desires for sin are changing. You know what you used to love to do, you no longer want to do. You know it, and now your desires and your heart have changed, and now you're walking it out. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. First, you know it, you believe it, you walk in it, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Lust is a strong desire. That desire is broken. And then how do you do that? First, you know it. Then you reckon it. You let it move into your heart. Okay? And then the third thing is in verse 13, and do not present your members. I think the King James Version says yield. And do not yield yield. Do not present. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And so the third idea of walking free from sin has to do with your will. It's an active, this is the part where you're either presenting yourselves to God or you're presenting yourself as slaves to sin. You have to make that decision. Now, the power's been broken. And now you have to make that decision to walk it out. You've got to present yourselves unto God. And then, because verse 14 tells us, the power's been broken. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. The power's been broken. The power of sin has been broken, but what are you going to make the choice to walk it out, is what he's saying. It doesn't dominate you. It has no dominion over you. You're not slaves anymore. You're free, but are you going to walk it out? Are you going to make that choice to walk it out? Present yourselves. Yield yourselves. You're either going to yield yourselves to the flesh. Verse 6 is knowing that the old man, that old man, that means, I think the NIV says old self. That old self was crucified. So you're either going to feed that old man and present your members of the old man. That means following that old man, or you're either going to let him be crucified. You're going to make that decision. and the power's been broken, but it's up to us to walk it out.